If you would please take your scripture and stand for the reading of God's word. We have a wonderful passage that leads us into our season here as we think about the shepherds. I want us to think about the good shepherd this morning as we read in John chapter 10, beginning in verse 1. John chapter 10, beginning in verse 1. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So Jesus again said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they might have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he's a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me. But I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I received from my Father. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. You know, the loss of a little lamb is dreaded by a shepherd. A shepherd has the responsibility of caring for the little lambs. And each day he knows their count. Each evening he knows their location because he cares for them. And he watches out for them. He protects them. He provides for them. They're dear to him. I want you to recognize that no greater destruction comes upon the church than when wolves ravage the church dressed as shepherds, and when counterfeit sheep fill the flock. I believe it's a greater damage done to the flock with this internal struggle than when external persecution comes on the church. When external persecution comes on the church of God, we tend to gather together. We huddle together. We trust the Lord together. We lean into one another, humbly trusting and looking to our shepherd. But oftentimes, when struggles come within, when other sheep are pushing others around, or even trying to push them out of the flock, or try to put themselves in a position of leadership, it's very destructive to the church. It's very discouraging for the other members of the church to see things like this taking place. And sometimes they scatter. Sometimes they seek to find another fold in which they could find peace and refuge. In preparation for this message, I took some time and I re-look through Philip Keller's book called A Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23. And I wanted to give you 9 characteristics of a sheep. Now, I want to remind you that I'm quoting from Philip Keller, and it's Jesus who calls us sheep, not your pastor. For I am one myself. The first characteristic that Philip Keller, who's a shepherd, tells us about a sheep is that they lack intelligence. Now, some of you might identify with that. Some of you might think, well, certainly he's not speaking about me. I'm a very bright individual. If you ask me, I'll tell you. But apparently sheep lack intelligence. You can't necessarily fault a person or a sheep for lacking intelligence. They just don't have it. And so the very first thing that Philip Keller wants to communicate after his many years of being a shepherd is that sheep lack intelligence. Secondly, he says they're untrainable. He says you just can't train a sheep. You know, you can train a dog. Maybe you pick up a ball and bounce it a little bit and say, okay, Candy, see the ball? And you throw the ball and Candy runs and gets the ball and brings it. You can't do that with a sheep. You might try, but a sheep is untrainable. Some of you may relate to that. Sheep need food placed right under their nose. Right under their nose. They will just stand and eat right where they are. And the shepherd has the responsibility to move them and kind of put the grass right under their nose. And so one of the marks of a sheep is that they need food placed right under their nose. Fourthly, they habitually eat the same grass until it's down to the nub. They'll eat right into the dirt. They'll just keep on eating whatever the person, the shepherd, puts in front of them. 5, they're given to listless wandering. Sheep are given to listless wandering. They seem to be doing fine. They're all huddled up in the herd. And the next thing you know, we're looking around. Where's Joey? He's just wandering. Joey's just listlessly wandering off. What's he thinking? He doesn't know. He's just wandering. They frighten easily. Sheep frighten very easily. In Keller's book, he mentioned that while he was at the ranch, a friend came to visit. And when the friend got out of his vehicle and closed the door, it scared one of the sheep. And that sheep took off running, and an entire flock followed them, and they all ran off of a cliff because somebody slammed the car door. Sheep frighten easily. One of the most common things Jesus tells his disciples, do not be afraid. 7, sheep are utterly defenseless. They're utterly defenseless. They can't bite. They can't kick. Now, I've been kicked by a horse. I've been kicked by a cow. I've never been kicked by a lamb. They're defenseless. And if they run, they get hot because of all their wool. They can't outrun anything. They can't outfight anything. They're utterly defenseless. They're helpless. 8 is they get cast down very easily. A cast sheep is a sheep that's gone out and somehow gotten comfortable and kind of rested over on their side. And as they get comfortable and all their wool's around them and they're resting, somehow they gently roll over onto their back. And when they roll over onto their back, their legs are sticking straight up in the air and they cannot right themselves. They kick, they cannot right themselves. They're just stuck. They're cast down. They're cast. They're stuck. They can't help themselves get up. And they will either be eaten by predators, or they will die in that position, or their shepherd will go to get them. Last comment. Of all the animals which require husbandry, sheep require the most care. For some reason, Jesus calls himself the Good Shepherd, and he calls us his sheep. Some of you are profoundly insulted. Some of you are profoundly convicted. But that is what Jesus says. He calls us his sheep. And helpless, defenseless sheep need a good shepherd. And so the focus of the message is about the shepherd. Do you know there were bad shepherds in the Old Testament? Jesus compares and contrasts himself with bad shepherds. I want to draw this out a little bit for you and take you back to the Old Testament. For some of you, you're already thinking, I know where we're going. You might be thinking that we would be going to Ezekiel 34, and I would encourage you to study that on your own. I'm going to take us to a shorter passage in Jeremiah 23. Jeremiah 23, I'll read verses 1 through 4. I want you to get a sense of what a bad shepherd does and doesn't do. It's very important for us to build a bit of a contrast so that we can discern the difference between a good and a bad shepherd. Many times in the morning when I awaken, I go into my closet and I have to figure out which color of socks I'm going to put on my feet. Sometimes it's difficult for me to tell the difference between a blue sock and a black sock. And it's just the light isn't quite right, and I just can't quite discern it. But do you know what happens? I pull out a brown sock, and I'll place a brown sock, a blue sock, and a black sock, and immediately I can tell the difference because there's a bit of a comparison. There's a contrasting light and color. That's what I'm asking you to recognize. I'm asking you to hear an Old Testament example of a bad shepherd, and then we're going to look at the beauty of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Good Shepherd. Jeremiah chapter 23, verses 1 through 4. Woe to the shepherds who destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, declares the Lord. Therefore, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, concerning the shepherds who care for my people. You have scattered my flock, and you have driven them away, and you have not attended to them. Behold, I will attend to you for your evil deeds, declares the Lord. Then I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all the countries where I have driven them, and I will bring them back to their fold, and they shall be fruitful and multiply. I will set shepherds over them who will care for them, and they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed, neither shall any be missing, declares the Lord. Do you see? The Lord recognizes a bad shepherd. And the Lord has called to his people good shepherds. Good shepherds who love the flock and who seek to protect the flock and provide for the flock. One of the things I want us to recognize as we begin to ponder the Lord Jesus Christ as the Good Shepherd is that the Good Shepherd has a different way of dealing with different sheep depending on their condition. And so as we think about the work of the Lord, I want you to think about yourself as a little lamb this morning. And I want you to consider what the Lord might be considering as he looks at your life. And as he sees you right where you are right now, he knows exactly where you are. So I want you to acknowledge where you are. And I want you to hear the good word of the Lord. Some of his sheep he gathers gently to his bosom and he carries them. They're so weak and they're so needy. He carries them along so tenderly. Other sheep, other sheep, he goes out and finds them and brings them back with a correction. And still others, he finds them in such dire straits that if he were not to go and rescue them, they would surely die. They would be devoured by the enemies of the gospel. And so I do not know where you find yourself this morning, but I want to tell you about the Good Shepherd. I want to tell you about him in hopes that you would worship him and you would always be longing to be near him, especially in this Advent season. I would like to take us to Psalm 23. We said it together at the beginning of the service, and I want us to turn to it. You can use your bulletin, you can use a pew Bible, or you can turn within your own scripture text, because I believe that the Lord Jesus Christ in this psalm reveals him to be at least two things to his people. He's their provision, and he's their protector. First, let's look at the provision of the Lord Jesus Christ. A psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. When our little girl Sarah was memorizing Psalm 23, and she was in the back seat of the car as I was driving her to school, I said, "Sweetheart, let's work on your memory verses today." And she said, "Okay, Daddy." She was just 5 years old. She still loved memorizing. It's harder for some of us as we get older, isn't it? But she was five, and five-year-olds can memorize and mimic, parents, by the way. And I said, "Honey, say Psalm 23. And she sat up straight in her little seat, and she said, "The Lord is my shepherd. I don't need anything." You know, she didn't know the Hebrew on that, but that's pretty good. "The Lord's my shepherd. I don't need anything." I just want to ask you a question. Do you believe that? Just think about your life. Just think about the last week or two. Think about what's coming up in the next few weeks. Do you believe that? "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want." I don't need anything. If I have him, I have everything. Oh, there's a rest there. There's a rest there, little Lamb of God. To find your rest in him. To find your rest in the bosom of the shepherd who can provide everything for you. Not simply your money or your health. Those things are important, but it's bigger than that. It's bigger than that, isn't it? He provides himself. He doesn't say, "The Lord's stuff is my stuff." He says, "The Lord is my shepherd. Because I have a good shepherd, I don't really need anything else." Look at how the psalm goes from here. "He makes me lie down in green pastures." I am not quite sure when children stop enjoying naps. But I've rarely met an adult who couldn't enjoy a nice afternoon nap. If you just spread your little kindergarten towel out there on the floor, so just stretch out about 20 minutes. Just go ahead and just find a little rest here in the afternoon. Do you find that rest? Do you see that the Lord, he makes me lie down in green pastures? Do you have that sense right now? Do you have that calm of a green pasture? Do you have a calm of a shepherd who provides everything for you? "He leads me beside still waters." You don't want lambs drinking out of rivers that have fast-moving rapids. If you bring a little lamb and try to give them a drink out of a fast-moving river, you're going to find them bobbing in the rapids. Down. There he goes. Doo, 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 doo. Right? He brings us to these quiet waters. It's been my prayer this week that this morning would be a quiet place for you. It would be a drink from a still water. When you can calmly not worry about your footing, not worry about who's jostling around you, but simply take a, a big, deep drink of God's word this morning. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. Is there anything or anyone who can restore your soul? I've watched many people, when they find that all the things they've tried cannot restore their soul, they begin to self-medicate. They self-medicate in a variety of ways. Maybe they drink too much. They begin to do drugs, either prescription drugs or illicit drugs. They begin to self-medicate by watching television for hours every day. Oh, they just want peace. They just want to be left alone. They just aren't making sense of everything. And it's driving them crazy. And so I'm just going to self-medicate with the television or with the earpieces I put on my head incessantly so I don't have to deal with my parents or my teachers or my friends. Do you see? The Lord Jesus Christ is the only one who can restore your soul. You can all self-medicate. You can. But only the Lord's going to restore your soul. Who can restore a soul? We're not talking about repair. We're talking about this restoration. This new person that God makes out of us. It's not a reparation of an old worn out organ. It's a brand new heart. It's a brand new kidney. Brand new soul as he restores his people. And then he leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. You know, over the years, many people have made a grave error about me. They have said to me in private and in public, you are a very strong person. You're very disciplined. And you know what? They're wrong. I'm a very weak person. And every morning, I must be with my shepherd. For I am a helpless, defenseless person. And they come to me and say, I want to be like you, Pastor. I want to be strong. And I say, you are wrong. Your sin patterns reveal to me that you believe you are strong. You see, when a person is weak, they drop at the foot of the cross and say, oh, good shepherd, I am defenseless. I am helpless. I cannot fight for myself. I cannot provide for myself. Oh, good shepherd, walk with me this day. Carry me on your shoulders. Lift me against your bosom. It's the strong people who persist in their sin. It's the strong people who say, I know what's best. I'm going to do it my way. And they continue on in their own strength and to their own destruction. We have such a great shepherd that if you are here this morning and you have led a life that has created a world of destruction around you and your family and loved ones, he can restore your soul. He can restore you. He can bring you back and deliver you from your own stubborn strength to a place of weakness and a place of humility, which is the place of blessing with the Good Shepherd. He provides for you these paths of righteousness. So that's his provision. Let's think about his protection. Verse 4. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. I will fear no evil. Why? For you are with me. That little three-letter word, for, should just scream because it's the apex. Because you're with me. You know, as my mother was dying, and I was speaking to my mother back in February of 1995, she said, "Honey, I'm done." I said, "What do you mean, Mom?" She's like, "This cancer has just beat me up, and I'm just done with it. And I'm just ready to go on and be home." And she began to kind of turn a corner. She began to turn a corner from dreading her cancer and her death to looking forward to the joys of his presence. And he began to walk with her in a way that manifests his grace immeasurable. Immeasurably, he poured out his grace on my mom. And she began to walk with him toward death with such courage and such joy and such release and freedom. Because he was with her in the valley of the shadow of death. And if he's with you, what is the most common thing Jesus tells his disciples? Do not be afraid. So the Lord protects us, even in our death. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. He didn't remove the enemies. He prepared a table right smack dab in the battlefield. Eat this. He anoints my head with oil. My cup overflows. Certainly, surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. There's this sense of the good shepherd who not only is a provider, he's a protector. You know, I've asked the elders and deacons of this church to pray for each member of our church. And they have been faithfully praying prayers which include, but are not completely limited by, Ephesians 3, 14 through the end of the chapter. They've been praying that for you and for us, for me. Why? That you would come to the Lord and find your satisfaction in Him. That you would find this sense of His presence. That He would expand our ability to understand the gospel represented in the breadth and length and height and depth of the love of Christ. Have you been experiencing that this season? That's been our prayers for you, little lamb. That's been our prayers for you. Some of our elders and deacons have reached out to touch you, send you a card, or to call you and say, "I'm praying for you. I care about you." And they're seeking to hold you before the Lord as a good shepherd. Do you know, we make mistakes as earthly shepherds. We go down the wrong road sometimes. We wander listlessly, occasionally. And so we need to be gathered together. We need to be gathered together around the chief shepherd. We have shepherds and our elders and deacons, but our great shepherd is the Lord Jesus Christ. And we seek to bring you to Him, that you might find your great rest in Him, that He might be your peace. You might be wondering, what's my part? You've kind of left me out. I mean, you started by giving me 9 characteristics about myself that weren't all that thrilling to open a sermon. And you talked a little bit about a bad shepherd, and now you've talked about the good shepherd. What's a good sheep look like? It's really very simple. They listen and they follow. Really? Mm-hmm. They listen and they follow. If you are not regularly devouring God's word, I would submit to you that more than likely you are either a cast sheep, flat on your back in big trouble, or you are a rebellious sheep who will be corrected by the Lord who loves you. You hear his voice by reading his word. He speaks through his word. That's how he speaks to us now, through his word. The preponderance of this sermon has been God's word because he speaks through his word. Did you hear him? I'm asking for our church in the next 21 days to read the 21 chapters of the Gospel of John. Now, you might be working in another area of the scripture, but I'm asking that we would read one chapter a day of the Gospel of John over the next 21 days that lead us toward Christmas. That we would eat together. That we would eat the same food together every day. Every day we could stop and think, we have our entire flock eating out of this same marvelous pasture. And he's feeding us well in his word. So, what's a good sheep to do? Listen and follow. Follow. If you know of an area of your life that if it were known publicly would bring disgrace to our Lord or to yourself, I ask you to stop being so strong in that area and to become weak and to fall at the foot of the cross when tempted. And say, Jesus, the devil is knocking at the door. Would you please go answer it for me? For he is the door, and he is the good shepherd who loves his sheep. Let's pray. Father, the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, as the good shepherd to people like us. Little sheep, some who work their way through the flock, battering people around. For any particular reason, it almost matters not. Oh Lord, deliver them from their battering ways. Bring them to peace with you, because the battering they do to others is the battering they do within their own heart. Heal their heart, Lord. May they cease their strong beating of themselves and of others. Lord, there are little lambs who are here this morning who are flat on their back. There they are, Lord. In my sanctified mind, I can see them. Their little legs are in the air. They've gotten so comfortable. Their wool is so thick. Their possessions are so heavy that rather than possessing their possessions, they are now possessed by them. And they're on their back. They're trying to figure out how to create new revenue streams. Oh Lord, they're just stuck. They've stopped pursuing you. They've gone on in their own strength. Dear Shepherd, would you send your Spirit? And Holy Spirit, would you rub and recirculate the broken hearts of our cast down sheep? Would you restore them, Lord? For only you can restore a soul. And then, Lord, for those of us who are little lambs who are eating what's put in front of us, may we eat your word this month. May we eat our way through John, chapter by chapter, day after day, and be well fed and hear your voice and follow the only things you ask of your little lambs. Our great provider, our great protector, we do love you. And we follow you. We thank you for your goodness to us. We make our prayer in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. I'm asking that we will sing together a closing hymn. And while we're singing it, you're going to see why I selected it. It's going to resonate with your soul based on the message we've just heard. We're going to sing Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing, hymn number 457. So would you please rise and let's sing together. And now hear this good word, this benediction from the Lord. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace, both now and in a life everlasting. Amen.